Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
JetBlue has reservations.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The last thing JetBlue wants is a repeat of last month's disaster when planes were stranded on runways for hours due to a winter storm. So today it canceled about 215 flights in advance of an expected storm. Most of those flights were headed to or from New York's JFK, Washington's Dulles International, and Logan Airport in Boston. Passengers whose flights were canceled were offered refunds or a chance to rebook through April without having to pay a fee. Speaking of air travel, the FAA has some bad news. Airports are likely to become more crowded for the foreseeable future. Yesterday, the FAA says it expects an average of 1.4 million more takeoffs and landings every year until 2020. Wall Street ends today on a positive note. The Dow rose 26 points to 12,159. The Nasdaq added 6 points to 2378. And the S&P tacked on 5 points. It's at 1392. Yesterday, the British Parliament got some bad news. The cost for the Olympic Games London is hosting in 2012 will be 3 times the original estimate. This news comes as L.A. and Chicago are pushing to host the Games in 2016. Both cities insist they can make money hosting the Olympics. But Marketplace's Bob Moon says one of them may face less of a financial risk.
Chicago's promotional video talks of a grand Olympic village along the shore of Lake Michigan.
Make no small plans has long been our city's unofficial motto.
Just this week, after long promising no public funds would be needed, Chicago's mayor persuaded the city council to put up a more than $500 million good faith guarantee, while still insisting there's zero chance tax dollars will be needed. Organizers vow there's plenty of private support lined up. But the head of L.A.'s Olympic bid, David Simon, says his city has something Chicago doesn't.
We're blessed with existing facilities for almost everything the Olympics need.
Indeed, Chicago organizers reportedly have explained that L.A. isn't being required to post the same public guarantee because of its existing facilities. But when it comes to soaring costs like those just revealed in London, Simon argues L.A. has a lot less risk.
With a very limited construction budget, you don't have the kind of cost overruns that you do when you need to build an Olympic Village or a main stadium and those kinds of major facilities.
U.S. Olympic officials are set to decide a month from now which city gets to go forward with an Olympic bid. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
New York's attorney general has written to 400 colleges throughout the U.S. He wants them to end the cozy relationships they have with lenders. Ashley Milne-Tite explains in this report.
Attorney General Andrew Cuomo says some lenders give cash commissions to schools, others send financial aid officers on exotic vacations, also that schools will promote their loan.
They also simultaneously limit the number of lenders that are provided access to the students, and the lenders will actually pay the school more for the lack of competition.
Cuomo says these practices are widespread, but David Kanasky has his doubts. He heads the New York State Financial Aid Administrators Association.
If you were promoting inferior products to them at higher rates for your own benefit, that would be kind of a silly way to engender loyalty in your alumni.
He says while there may be some rogue schools, most strive to give students a breadth of loan choices. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, offering information to learn about sudden cardiac arrest and available life-saving therapies at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Last year, we featured a story about Sarah Takesh. Takesh is a California-born fashion designer who fell in love with Afghanistan's rugged beauty in 2001, just as the Taliban were being driven out. She decided to live there, and she set up a high-fashion boutique in the turbulent city of Kabul. The insurgency made last year the bloodiest in Afghanistan since the war. Not surprisingly, it's been hard on Takesh and her business. Miranda Kennedy went back to Kabul to check up on her and found she's managed to survive, but just.
When Sarah Takesh set up a high-end fashion house here, she was full of hope for the new Afghanistan. 3 years later, she's become an institution among the wives of diplomats and other foreigners in Kabul who make their way down a cratered road to a large mud brick house where she holds her sales. Two armed men keep guard outside. Inside, women sift through the racks of expensive embroidered silks.
This is 65. We'll just leave it at 65 and make one for you.
Now, can you shorten the sleeves?
Yeah.
Sarah knew running a fashion boutique on streets plagued by suicide bombers would be tough, but it's turned out to be harder than she figured, and she had to change her business plan. Sarah says she earns better money making low-budget uniforms for Afghanistan's new army than by selling hand-embroidered wool skirts to foreigners. She expected to break even last year, but when her partner went to pick up a big payment from the U.S. military compound in Kabul, bandits were waiting.
They followed him in two unmarked vehicles, a bunch of men dressed up as police. So he turned on our street, broad daylight, and they pulled up in front of him, stuck a gun in the driver's face and said, "Give us the briefcase now."
They got away with $156,000 cash and shot her partner's brother in the leg. The police never found them or the money. No surprise to Sarah, who says Afghanistan is still like the Wild West, with warlords and drug lords running their empires, effectively sanctioned by the government.
The people who are doing the robbing have deep roots on the inside of the government, and they don't get caught. They never, ever get caught.
Sarah says the level of crime and corruption make a mockery of claims by the U.S. and Afghan governments that the country's ready for business investment. She says the changes are all cosmetic.
Thank you. Bye.
Sarah doesn't know how she'll pay her debts without the stolen money and won't stay if it happens again.
I'm not sure that's not going to happen again. And if it does happen again, I'm the fool for staying here.
For now, she's toughing it out. She's learned to bring armed guards along when she collects her payments. In Kabul, I'm Miranda Kennedy from Marketplace.
You can hear Miranda's earlier interview with Sarah Takesh by going to our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.